Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. We want to keep in mind that the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians, and many of them converted, and they were Christian people, but they were tempted to go back to the old law of Moses and justification by works instead of justification by faith in Christ. And the book of Hebrews was written to address a lot of these questions, that they should never go back, but they should just accept Jesus as the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy. And he did. But I want to talk to you this morning about what is entitled the message, God Has Spoken. Man. And so Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this day. I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, just anoint your servant to preach. Anoint us all to hear, to receive. God, I pray you'd talk to the heart as only you can do of every need that's here, we pray. We commit it all to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's this saying that I've heard time and again throughout my lifetime that when a certain person speaks, everybody ought to listen. Well, yes, some people maybe, but everybody ought to listen to God. And God has spoken. Praise the Lord. And God spoke audibly in the Old Testament. God spoke the Ten Commandments audibly to the children of Israel, told them the way he wanted them to live. And it was completely opposite of what the Canaanite people that they would be encountering would live. And so God spoke his Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, God's word was so powerful and spoken that the elders of Israel went to Moses and said, Moses, why don't you just go hear what God has to say. Let him talk to you, but don't talk to us lest we die. That's how powerful God's voice was. So God has spoken through time. And so God spoke various ways through various people, sometimes impressions in the heart, sometimes audibly, and sometimes and much today through his word, praise God, through the scriptures, the Bible. But here in the book of Hebrews, it's important that we understand that the key word in Hebrews is better, because it outlines that what is better about Christ than the Old Testament law, than the Old Testament justification by works, and that justification by faith was necessary, and that's it made it much better. And the first chapter deals with God is better than angels, and it goes further than that. Jesus is better than the priesthood. Jesus's sacrifice on the cross was better than all Old Testament sacrifices, and so it was better. As a matter of fact, it was the best. Amen. It says in Hebrews 10:12, it says, for by one sacrifice, not many lambs, not many goats, not all of the Old Testament lambs that were slain for the people, because something was having to die all the time for the sins of the people, but Jesus died once to forever pay for sins. Hebrews 10:12, he has offered one sacrifice for sins and sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering, not many offerings, but by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Praise the Lord. So God has spoken. In these last days, he has spoken by his Son, who is the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy and all types and figures in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled that. As a matter of fact, Jesus fulfilled all three major Old Testament offices, that of prophet, priest, and king. Praise the Lord. And let's notice, first of all, in the God spoke in times past, verse 1 there of our scripture. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And God spoke through prophets. God revealed himself to prophets, priests, and kings. Many times God sent a prophet in order to turn Israel from idolatry to the true and the living God. And it seems that idolatry was Israel's main problem. They had problems of worshiping something else or putting something else in the place of God. And it's called idolatry. And whatever takes God's place in your life becomes an idol. Nothing can take the place of my God. Amen. One who died, rose again to heaven, ascended to heaven, and is coming back one day. You can't put anything in the place of God. You cannot replace him. Nothing is worth it. But idolatry is putting something before God or in place of God. And so God spoke many times with many ways abundantly, and in his mercy he still speaks today. And God never meant to be silent to mankind whom he created in his own likeness and image. But we know that sin prohibited God's communication with man when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and put that sin nature upon all that would be born thereafter. But God in his mercy sent his Son to come that he might communicate with us and to testify us and to tell us that he's spoken again by his Son. Praise the Lord. So in times past, God spoke through the prophets. We know if we go back to the story of Elijah, the prophet, man mightily used of God, how that Israel had gone off into idolatry, and God called Elijah the prophet. He said, I want you to go to King Ahab, and I want you to tell him it's not going to rain on this land again until I say it can. And the Bible says Elijah turned from that and went away. And Ahab hunted for Elijah forever, for a long time. For 3.5 years, it didn't rain a drop of rain. There were no crops. There was famine in the land because of it. But it was all because of Ahab and Sister Jezebel's idolatry. No, she wasn't sister. She was just Jezebel. That's who Ahab was married to. So he didn't use wisdom in his marriage. And so God spoke through Elijah. And Elijah said, I want you to gather all the prophets of Baal here that you've worshipped. And Elijah alone is a prophet of God. He said there, we're going to make two altars. You offer sacrifice to Baal and you cry out to him. And I'll offer a sacrifice to God in heaven. And you, whichever one answers by fire, let him be God. So the people agreed to that. And so we know that the prophets of Baal cried out all day long till noon. And they cut themselves with swords and did whatever they did in their religious worship. But Baal never answered. And we know that Elijah prayed a simple prayer, poured, as a matter of fact, poured water on the sacrifice so there could be no question of anything going on under the table. And so Elijah prayed. We know that the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And the people shouted, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. There was no Baal, the only God, and there's only one true God. And so God spoke by fire then. And in mercy, God has spoken in his mercy to turn people from destruction to safety. And if you see a person on the edge of destruction, would you not do whatever you can to keep that person from destruction? Man, God spoke to Paul by a shipwreck. And I'm sure that Paul thought everything, and the people on the ship, they thought everything was gone, and they were on a voyage to go to Rome. And they were shipwrecked on an island called Malta. And there was no gospel there. There was no truth there. And this shipwreck was ordained of God. He said, well, God doesn't do bad things to people. No, he doesn't. And this was a good thing. Shipwreck doesn't sound good. And the ship was broken apart. The hinder part of the ship was destroyed by the violence of the waves, the Bible says. And God told them, said, seek you out a speed the light vehicle because you're going to be missionaries to the island of Malta. And some on board, some on pieces of the ship, and so some got on the speed the light boards and paddled their way to the shore. I'm really putting it in there, okay. But it was a way of God getting his gospel to that island. When they got to the island, They gathered sticks together, and the people, they knew nothing of God, the one true God. That's just idolatry is all they knew. And so they gathered sticks, and they began to burn them and start a fire because it was cold. And a viper came out of the sticks and fastened on to Paul's hand. And the people said, surely this man is under judgment because he's fled from God somewhere or another. And God's, even though he escaped the violence of the ocean, God does not allow him to exist. But we know that it didn't bother Paul any. He just shook the beast off into the fire, the snake off into the fire, and he just continued on. And the people of the island were confused because that kind of serpent, he should have died suddenly. But Paul just kept on cooking, gathering sticks, doing whatever they needed to do. And God used that, and God spoke to that island because the leader of that island had a father that was sick. And they brought him to Paul, and Paul laid hands on him, and God healed that man. And it started a revival in that island, and many of the people believed God and were saved. If it had not been for the shipwreck, it would have never happened. But God used something that seemed impossible to make something possible, that is, for people to be saved. And to this day, 90% of that island is Christian. I would like to say they're Pentecostal, but most of it's Catholic, but there has been the light of Christ in some way or another to that island. So thank God for the shipwreck. And so God spoke in that island. And so when people are on the edge of destruction, many times you attempt to keep them from destruction. Praise the Lord. You hope you do. I remember years ago, 1996, I was in Peru, and I was on a missions trip there. We were supposed to help start a church here in a mountain town that had no electricity except for the generator that we run it by. And we went there, we preached to them, it was good. But as we're going up to a mountain where we were supposed to preach, you know, they didn't have their ways of transportation were not Cadillacs. We were on an old bus going around a mountain till we got to the top where the village was. And I looked down, and there's nothing but the atmosphere and my fear for several thousand feet. And one place I thought saw the wheel of that be on the very edge, and I said, hey, watch it. They all laughed because they were used to it, but I wasn't, because I thought we was going to have a great fall. But yet, we would do anything and then we could save children, anybody from destruction if we saw that it was near. And to keep people from certain judgment and destruction, if God didn't care or didn't love, he would make no attempt to keep us on the right path. But God, in his love, cared for you, cared for me, and decided to lead us straight and spoke to us by his Son and said, you need to go this way. Praise the Lord. And so, second of all, God has spoken by his Son. I think we've made that clear already. And it says here, God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed to be heir of all things, to whom also he made the worlds. I want to tell you, when God gave his Son, he could give no greater gift to humanity. He could do nothing greater, nothing more powerful, amen, than to give his only begotten Son, begotten in the sense of his humanity, the Virgin Mary. Amen. And so he could do nothing except give his greatest treasure, his only Son, to this world. And I tell you, that is an act of God's love. God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet the enemies of God, God sent his Son. God saved us. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful that he is a powerful Son today. He's the heir of all things. Praise God. He, by whom he spoke and created all things through his Son. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. And not anything was made that was not made without him. I think that speaks of Jesus created all things. God used his Son, even the creation of the world. Amen. So we know that. Even in Romans chapter 1, Paul, as he preached to the church in Rome, the people in Rome, he says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Paul says there's no excuse for not believing God. If you just look at creation itself, it's testimony that this couldn't have just happened or didn't evolve from some lower form of life. God created all things. Amen. In six literal 24-hour days and created man and rested on the seventh day. And this makes clear in Scripture that he's a creator. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. God's created all things, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. Amen. Mankind from the beginning, God speaks redemption's plan for fallen, sinful mankind. It's surprising to me. In the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, fell from redemption, they fell a long ways. Amen. And they fell from fellowship with God and relationship with God. And they could fall no further than that. But God in his love made a plan of redemption. Genesis 3:15 said the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. And that happened when Christ died on the cross and conquered death and rose again from the dead. Had God not created a plan of redemption for mankind, there would be no payment for sin. You'd have to pay for it yourself. There would be no blood to pay for our sins. There would be no eternal life. There would be only eternal separation from the love and the mercy of God. And if we look at Galatians chapter 5, we find the fruit of the Spirit there. And the fruit of the Spirit is a fruit that God gives, because the Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is not something you get, it's God. He's God, the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so had God not created redemption, there would be none of the fruit of the Spirit. There would be no love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, hope, life, mercy, grace. All these come as fruits of the Spirit. They all come from God. I want to tell you, without God, there's not going to be any real love in the earth. Without God, there's not going to be any hope. Without God, there's not going to be any mercy. Without God, there's not going to be any grace. And without God, there's not going to be any eternal hope, eternal love, or eternal life, or eternal anything that's of God. Because God loved us and created redemption's plan. And God has spoken to us by his Son. He's saying, through my Son, the filthiest and the most wretched of sinners can be saved. Through his Son, I can redeem people and buy them and purchase them out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. Amen. By my Son, I can redeem you from sin. By my Son, I can heal you of every disease. By my Son, I can give you eternal life. By my Son, I can give you deliverance from sin, sickness, sorrow, and death. I can give you eternal life. So God has spoken to us by his Son. Man. And it says here, by whom he holds all things by the word of his power. Praise God. Through whom also he made the worlds. Man. It's amazing to me how that God could just speak and it would happen. He upholds the universe. He upholds all creation. He upholds everything by his powerful word. If God did not uphold everything he'd created, then it would be loose and the world would just go back to like it was before he created. That is, without form and void and darkness over the face of the deep. But creation up, the Son upholds his creation. Praise the Lord. In our text here, verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person in upholding all things by the word of his power. So not only did God create the world with his word and his power, but he upholds all things that he created. He upholds them by the word of his power. And that power is to change lives, to forgive sins, to pardon, to save whosoever. He accomplished this by his death on the cross, his power to rise again and to conquer death. And Jesus in his earthly ministry, he made the statement that I can never forget. I don't want to forget anything he said. But John 20:17-18, Jesus said, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And only God, his Father, could give him that power to lay down his life. And they didn't take Jesus' life from him. He laid it down. They really didn't kill him. He gave up his spirit at death. Yes, he willingly, yes, he gave it up. Yes, they crucified him, and by shed blood, yes, they did kill him. But he had the power to lay down his life. He had the power to take it again. And that same Jesus has power to give eternal life to you. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The Bible tells us that. Praise the Lord. And so we do not live this Christian life by our own power. We're upheld by God. And you can say, well, I'm a great Christian. I've done this. I've done that. I've sent missions of money here and there, and I've done many works. Thank God that you have. But let me tell you something. You don't stand in your own strength. You are upheld by God's power, God's grace, and God's mercy. Amen. We are people that are upheld by God. Amen. There is no telling. There is no limit to what could have become of us or what couldn't become of us if we don't trust in his word to uphold us. Amen. When you're down and discouraged, God will uphold you. When your strength is gone, his strength isn't gone. He's more powerful and more mighty. Amen. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord. So we do not live this Christian life by our own power. We're upheld by his powerful word. And let's move on here. God has spoken in this last time by paying for our sins. We're going to partake of the emblems of communion here in just a moment. I'll just say right here, you don't have to be a member of this church to partake communion with us. If you know that you're saved on your way to heaven, thank God. We want to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. God has spoken by paying for our sins. The last part of verse 3 there of our text says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So when he had by himself purged our sins, when he had done his sacrifice on the cross and poured out his soul into death for my sins and yours, after he was done with that, he sat down. You ever been tired when you just wanted to go home and sit down? Through a day's work and be finished with it? Go home, just sit down and rest for a while? Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, some people do that when they come to church. That's all right. When he had himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And it is this person who has provided purification from sins, has taken his seat at the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to tell you, he's set down as priest, high priest. And Jesus fulfilled the role, the office of high priest. Praise God. He did it powerfully, wonderfully. Praise the Lord. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. It doesn't mean that God feels sorry for you, but it does mean that God understands where you've been because he became humanity. He's walked where you walked. He's been what you went been through. Amen. He's not what I've been through. Yes, he has. He's been through everything you could possibly go through and more. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Difference between him and us, he never sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need his grace. We need his mercy. And the Bible says, therefore, let us come boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God has spoken by his Son. He says, I know what you're going through. I know where you are. I know where you've been. I've been there. I've walked that path. I've been with you. I didn't sin, but I've been there, and I will walk you through. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you always into the end of the world, end of the age. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down at the right hand of God. Because it was a finished work. The redemption plan was complete, and he completed it. And when he said it is finished on the cross, he meant that the redemption plan was complete, it was finished. There's only one way. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus. that name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Amen. So we need Christ. Hallelujah. God has spoken in these last days through His Son. Praise the Lord.